Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the 14th episode of the Road to Ironman 2020 podcast series with Renzo, Christine and Gerard. This is the last 2019 podcast, as tomorrow we'll be in 2020 with just over 11 weeks to go until Ironman and Port Elizabeth. Today, we are privileged to be talking to Oswald Kidd, an Ironman Level 1 certified triathlon coach and also a three-time Ironman South Africa finisher, his best time being under 11 hours against able-bodied athletes. Oswald is an incredibly tenacious and inspiring individual with a story of determination that depicts and demonstrates how powerful our mind can be. In 1997, he had his leg amputated and has gone on to participate in triathlons at a South African level, and in 2011 was the world triathlon champion. We're looking forward to spending the next 30 to 40 minutes with Oswald, and I know you will be inspired.
Good day, Oswald. Welcome to the Gerard and Christine Live Life podcast studio. Hope you're doing well.
I am good, thank you.
Yeah, you know what, it's the more me and Christine and Renzo do these episodes, there's more and more people reaching out to us, and we somehow find more inspiring individuals than what we thought is out there. And I'm very excited to share your story with the listeners out there. I think, you know what, there's a lot of people out there that has no excuse to go and run around the block, and they always have five different excuses of why they can't. And then there's other individuals that has an excuse to say, now, you know what, I'm actually just going to sit down and do nothing, and then they go and conquer the world. So yeah, very, very excited to let them hear your story. Can we start off just with a little bit of background about Oswald? Who is Oswald? Where did you grow up? Were you always athletically inclined? Give us a little bit of a history.
Yeah, I was born and grew up mainly in Durban, up until about 1980-81, when I started to do a couple of marathons and half marathons under my mother. She basically directed me in that kind of scenario, into that situation. Because what happened was, when we were at school, we were obligated to do sport after hours. So athletics, cross country, rugby, whatever else. And the most, it was compulsory to do rugby. But my mother decided, no, that's not in her, in her slack. She doesn't want to see me crippled or whatever else. So she decided she'd rather have me do cross country. And it just grew from there. So like within the first 3 months, I'd already run my first 42K at the age of 14.
Yes, sure. Which
was, yeah, it's like I got banned for 6 months for doing that.
You overachiever.
So I've done quite a few stupid things. In my matric year, which was in 85, I managed to do like seven marathons in 7 weeks, all sub threes.
What?
So, yeah, I won't say I'm gifted. I just had a bit of a talent for running. I was cross country captain in 85 as well for school. Then from there, I went into the army for 2 years. And then when I came out of the army, I then got bored sitting around at home. So within about a month or two of me finishing with my conscription, I then went into to start to cycle. And then I basically did the local races and whatever else. On a whim, the one Saturday morning, I decided just to get on the bike and go for a ride. 200 kilometers later, I get back home. I did a couple of informal races, basically unlicensed. And then in 93, I started my my license racing. So in that year, we went to do the Tour of Zimbabwe. Also did national time trial champs and road champs. And then as things progressed, I did a couple of other races quite regular during the years. And then 97, I did a race just before the end of September, and then 4 days later I was caught under a truck where I had my leg, had to have my leg amputated approximately 10 days later. And then after that, it was about a 6 month recovery and adaptation phase, and then I was back on the bike. And then from there, by the end of that was in 97. By the end of 98, I was back at Amashowa, which is the national classic, which is from Maritzburg to Durban. Just over 3 hours on that with a mountain bike. I wasn't able to handle the gear ratios on a road bike at that time. And then just progressed through that. And then eventually I was selected to go to, the physically challenged Cycling World Championships in Germany 2002, and I carried on riding a bit more, doing SHMs, Prince Provincials, road races and stuff like that. Then by the end of 2005, I actually got bored, and I decided, right, let me try something different.
Before you go over to that, you know what's amazing is you're telling this story as if it was just, no disrespect, just something happened and you just carried on with life, which I find truly remarkable. I don't think there's a lot of people whose mental strength is that, I don't know, that strong that you can actually go through something like that. Just give me that timeline again. After the accident, how long before you got back onto a bike?
Approximately 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah, because I didn't have a prosthetic that would be able to enable me to ride the bike. And I was feeling a little bit unsure now about riding my bike without another leg. So I wasn't used to that kind of thing. So it took 6 months before I could actually get my first prosthetic. And then I was on my bike. I did 18 Ks the first ride, and I fell off my bike 3 times. So, and then about 9 months later, 8 or 9 months later, I was on my bike doing the national, the Amashowa between Maritzburg and Durban, just over 3 hours. The way I look at it is that I'm in the same direction as what my mind was. I've just taken a little detour with a little bit of a difference.
That's
how I'm going to look at it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm assuming obviously there was a little bit of anger and frustration because this is now a little bit of a detour that you didn't plan. What was your motivation to get out of bed and just get back onto the bike? What is your almost a mantra?
Well, as my mother would say, and everybody else that knows me, ek is hard a gat, en dik vella.
Afrikaans explains the words the best.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. Look, like I said, my life did take a little bit of a detour. I am still doing what I love. I've always done it. I've always enjoyed it. There's nothing better than putting hurt into the other people around you when you're riding your bike. And prior to my accident, when I raced in 1993, when I first started my license racing, I was actually racing against guys like Gary Benneke, Billy Elbracht. And then in the one race that we had, just after we did the Tour of Zimbabwe, we had the Great Town Cycle Tour, which was a four-stage road race split over 2 days. And my claim to fame there is that I beat Willy Engelbrecht in a sprint.
that's a bucket list item.
Yeah, look, I was sprinting for third place. I was in a break of three, and it just so happened that I managed to hold him off. He was coming through strong, but I just managed to hold him off just before the line came. So I feel quite chuffed about that. So as I was saying earlier, end of 2005, I actually did my first triathlon as a team event back in 2004 with the Energade BSG series.
Yeah, the Energades, they were the best.
Yes, they were. And we, it's like what we did is we entered a disabled men's team. Okay. We had a blind swimmer, Charles Bauer. He's represented South Africa at Olympic Games. So he was our swimmer. I was our cyclist, and we had another chap who's he was he had his hand amputated, or he was born without a hand. I think it was his left one, if I'm not mistaken. And we actually won the men's division in the team section of the Energate Series.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so three disabled guys took on able-bodied athletes, and we drilled them. but a year later, we were then at the Potchefstroom one, a BSG Energate Series. I did a little bit of training for it. It's like not knowing what I was getting into. So we did the 600-meter swim. I came out there second last. Because I didn't know, I can swim, but I wasn't in the league. So I could get on the bike, and I passed. Oh, it's like that's my strong point. I went through there at a 35 average on the 20K. Yes. So we came off there, and then I went onto the run, and I did my 5K run. I didn't have a prosthetic for that at the time, so I did my 5K run on crutches. So I just finished in just over 2 hours. And then with that, I also got to meet one of the referees who remembered me from the previous year. And he was chief commissaire or chief referee for the Ironman down in PE. So I said to him, I would like to do something different. I would like to challenge, do the Ironman. So he said, give me a couple of days. He phoned me before the end of that week. And he said to me, I've got you a free entry.
Yeah.
Sure. All you got to do is make sure you get down there. We'll supply we'll sponsor the accommodation, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, all right, and I've got about 3 months left now to train. So
no pressure.
No pressure at all. Never swam in a wetsuit. Okay, I used to live in Durban, so I'm used to swimming in the sea. I was based in Kimberley at the time. So I would get into the swimming pool, and I do about, yes, I think the longest swim I did was 1,500 meters. And I'd swim about 10 or 15 times, if that. And so I didn't know what I was expecting. And then the wheelchair twice a week, I did 7 or 10 kilometers, depending on how I felt. And it was flat as a pancake in Kimberley. So you didn't really, the only speed bump that you got was the speed bump itself. And then, we go down, I then went and did SA road and track championships. So for 2 weeks beforehand, there was no swimming done, no cycling, wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I get on, and then I rock up at the start of the race, and so I get up to the start, and the guys, the commissaire, he loans me a wetsuit, so I get in the water. And the first lap was 45 minutes, because we used to do two laps then. 45 minutes and then 55 minutes. So 1 minute, 1 hour, 40 minutes. It's just like the commissaire was a bit worried after the first lap whether I was going to make it or not. So he saw me come out at 45 minutes. He says, all right, let me walk away now. I'm sure you can finish it now.
Yeah.
So get into the swim, get back. Took me 7 hours for the bike. I was riding with a prosthetic at the time. And then I got into the wheelchair. I've managed to do just over 13 hours on the first one.
Sure.
And then, so as things progressed, I eventually got more serious about the sport. And then in 2007, I did it again, just over 12 and a half hours or some change, I'm not sure. Then things progressed, and then I moved from Kimberley down to Durban. And then I got into 2010 Ironman, and I managed to do a sub 11 there.
Yeah, I saw that 10:26. That's more than just a sub 11. That's quite big chunk.
Yeah. So then that the Triathlon South Africa approached me and said to me, "You must now seriously consider going into international competition. Please stop this long stuff because it's actually blunting your speed." And in 2010, I went over to Hungary. There we I had to run do the run and crutches again. And the one chap that was competing against me, I think I beat him by 3 seconds, but he was catching me with every stride. So I finished the third there. And then
what distance was that? Was that a Olympic distance?
That was No, sprint distance.
Oh, sprint. Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. In 2010, they cut the distance. We used to do Olympic distance, but because of the time it took for some of the athletes to finish, they just said rather do it sprint distance, because it would be more TV friendly and also spectator friendly in the same sense.
Okay.
So they cut it down to sprint, which is actually harder than an Ironman, if you want to put it that way.
Mm.
Because Ironman, you get in, you slog it out, whereas it's just pressure from start to finish on the sprint. 2011, we went across to China, Beijing, and then I decided, okay, putting on the prosthetic was taking too much time, so I started to ride with a single leg, ride around on the routes and stuff, and came out the water. I was about third overall in the water. And then, when I caught the first place guy that got out the water before me, I didn't see him, and I put 5 minutes into the second place guy overall by the time I'd finished. And then things just progressed. The following year, the following year there was a bit of
misfortune,
unluckiness. I had a fall and whatever else during the course. But after I wouldn't say I've reached my peak. I've gone through the triathlon phase. I'm now just enjoying the sport itself.
Mm. You know, also that's amazing. Myself, Christine, and Renzo, who's all we all co-anchoring this podcast. Obviously, we are novices. Each person, each of us has a little bit of an interest. Like I like running the most. I think Christine loves swimming the most, and Renzo likes cycling the most. But our whole idea is to just let novices out there, or even people that don't even know that they want to do the Ironman, at least see, oh yes, three people, they have a day job and they can actually go out and do something like the Ironman. But it's so great sharing stories like yours out there, because when you hear these type of I want to say unluckiness or misfortunate people go through, but then they use that as a catalyst to propel them and just to say, you know what, like exactly what you said, this is not the end, this is just a detour. And I think in more ways than one, it's even more rewarding to finish something like the Ironman or winning a championship, because of you're running with your one hand behind your back and compared to other people out there, it's amazing. And I'm very I'm definitely inspired. I can't wait to cross that finish line next year and just try and imagine how you felt when you did it the first time after your accident. Is there any goals that you've set for yourself in 2020, even if it's not sport related?
I want to do the Maui Ultra. I've been out of triathlon for quite a few years.
Mm.
I want to get back into the Maui Ultra. I'm looking and aiming for Sun City, which is the beginning of May, which is about a couple of weeks after Ironman South Africa. And then also to build up on, because I'm not actually an Ironman certified coach.
Yeah, I saw that.
I only got that a couple of months back, about 2 months ago. So I'm also starting to work on that as well. So I'm involved with the sport, irrespective of which way people look at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing, because you can give back in more ways than one. Just transferring your skills, and obviously, if any athletes are interested in getting you as a coach, just your sheer inspiration of what you went through and still managing to finish these Ironmans and in those. It's crazy times. I think there's people out there that's going to be very jealous that they've trained very hard and they can't even break a 14-hour, never mind an 11-hour. I think that's important, is to, when you get to a point where, like you said, not necessarily reaching your peak, but there is another way of giving back to the sport, and that's in the experience and knowledge that you've built up over the years.
Yes.
And
yeah, I agree. Carry on.
Yeah, and also before we close off, for people out there that's listening to this podcast and maybe they're just listening to it because it was something that popped up on their social media platforms, if you can give them some inspiration to pursue their their next impossible goal that's in front of them? What message would you share with them?
Okay, it's like, put it this way, the easiest, I won't say the easiest, but like I say, try and get yourself a coach, not necessarily myself, but a guy that's certified coach, either through Triathlon South Africa or Ironman certified, okay? And then the thing is, be consistent in your training, okay? Don't not do the training. And also, when you, let's say you miss a training session that's relatively important, do not try and cram it in towards the end of the week, because you're only going to injure yourself. So be consistent, be patient. Your coach knows what he's doing. He has been through, more than likely has been through this himself. He has coached many more other athletes. And being consistent with your training builds a base and can only improve your performance. It's like if you sit back and not train, you're only going to set yourself up for failure.
Mm.
So there is a saying, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Mm.
Mm.
So be consistent in your preparation and you will succeed.
And a kind of a tip maybe for Renzo, Gerard and myself doing our first full Ironman, like, is there some fun fact or some serious tip that you can give us, like one nugget that we can take away from this that we can apply back in our training or our mental prep even?
It's an endurance event. So the most important part is your pacing. If you get, take for argument's sake, what is your swim time on average on 100?
On 100, about 146.
Okay. Now, don't try and swim at 146 for the whole 3.8 kilometers. Swim a little bit slower because, okay, on a 146, you should be able to swim up a 115 to a 120. That gives you an additional hour to an hour and 10 minutes available for you to play around with. However, if you push yourself to a 110, you will blow yourself up before you get to the halfway mark of the bike.
Okay.
So it's all about pacing. Okay. If you know how to pace yourself, okay. It's difficult to monitor your heart rate, especially in the water. But you know how to pace yourself in the water. When you get on the bike, when I did my last Ironman in 2010, came out the water in a 115, got on the bike, and I set an alarm on my watch to restrict me from overexerting myself on the ride. So I said to myself, all right, I do not want to exceed 157 heart rate. So I went out, got on the bike, and the bike took me 5 hours, 59 minutes, some seconds, okay, like a 30.1 average. When I got off the bike, when I downloaded and checked the WhatsApp, the alarm did go off occasionally to warn me that I was exceeding the 157, but when I downloaded the heart rate down to onto Garmin or whatever else, or onto Strava or whatever, I only spent 2 minutes of the total 6 hours above the 157 or higher.
Wow, okay.
So it's all about pacing. I said, if you know how to pace yourself, you should be able to get through. And then, okay, you wanted, they say for every minute you try and gain on the bike, you will lose 9 minutes on the run.
Yeah.
So it's all about pacing. Just be patient. And the other thing is, do not stress. You've prepared for this, okay? If something unexpected happens, like a puncture or whatever else, do not stress about it. What you should have done in your training is learned how to do puncture repairs.
Yes.
That you know what you're doing. That you know, okay, I must check the tire first. I must put the tire back on. If a bottle pops off your bike, just hope you've got enough water to get you to the next watering station and then just fill up from there. If you're not prepared, if you're not wanting to stop, you are going to dehydrate yourself.
Mm.
It's all about pacing. Be patient. Do not stress.
And plan. Plan.
Yeah. planning is in the preparation. Okay, it's like you're gonna say to yourself, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna swim at a 140, 146. That is my normal pace, but this is 3.8 kilometers. Let me rather swim at 150 to 155. Mm. Come out the water, I would say fresh, but you'll come out the water fresh enough to do a decent bike, because your heart rate, when you come out of the water, your heart rate changes, because you're now going from a horizontal plane to a vertical plane, and then you're using larger group muscles because of the legs are coming into action.
Mm.
So just be patient. Be patient.
Yeah, I think the 5P principle always works. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So if your preparation is spot on, all good. The other thing is never get to a race or any form of event where you are overtrained.
Mm-hmm.
Rather be 5% or 10% undertrained than 1% overtrained.
Okay.
I agree completely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oswald, thanks a lot. This has been great. I'm going to listen to this before we release it again, just to pick up on some tips. But yeah, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. And we're looking forward to throwing it out there on the cloud.
No problem.
Thanks. Cheers.